Mary had a little lamb,
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
And then we see now coming out that they were one of the most woke banks in their quest for the ESG type policy and investing. This could be a trend, and there are consequences for bad Democrat policy. And I think we need to keep an eye on all the banking sector right now.
The only people who woke up were VC funds who like small government, who decided they needed government help. That was House Oversight Chairman James Comer talking about woke banks. And then there was this editorial in The Wall Street Journal today. It was written by columnist Andy Kessler, who we invited to join us on the show tonight. He declined and explains what happened to Silicon Valley Bank. A lot of it made sense until you get to the end where he writes, quote, in its proxy statement, SVB notes that besides 91% of their board being independent and 45% women, they also have one black, one LGBTQ plus, and two veterans. I'm not saying 12 white men would have avoided this mess, but the company may have been distracted by diversity demands. Kara, refresh my memory.
Yeah.
When the actual financial crisis happened, the entire investment banking industry was led by white guys. What was under it was the festering subprime crisis, and there was not a band of LGBTQ transgender mortgage brokers selling upside down mortgages to people across this country. What kind of nonsense argument are they making here?
It's nonsense argument. It's when I saw that, I was shocked. And the same thing that Comer was saying, he's completely ignorant. Silicon Valley Bank, for a long time, it was a joke in the Valley that it was all men that were running it. A lot of women VCs wanted to get on the advisory panel and they were locked out. They never got on it. There's nothing woke about this bank. It was very, I would say libertarian, maybe, if you had to pick something, but not particularly political. This was about bad investments or investments they held on to. They got caught in a squeeze, essentially. And to do this is just a ridiculous, nonsensical right-wing talking point that makes no sense. This was just about finances and about what's happening in the economy and their exposure in that regard. To do this, I don't even understand it. It's just a talking point. Everything is a woke something. Woke AI, woke banks, woke pancakes next, I'm sure, something.
Woke pancakes, woke microphones, woke, TVs, woke, everything's woke, everybody. Everything is woke, which is good. It's better than being asleep, I must say. Although sleeping is nice. Sleeping has its place. But when you're making decisions, don't do it while you're asleep or angry. Oh, for the love of Pete, I can't believe that this is, well, I can believe, because I understand now why there was a run on a bank. I understand a whole lot of crap now. And yesterday we understood what the reason was. We understood that SVB, invested in long-term treasury bonds, not exactly liquid enough to meet the constant, request for, cash my check or, I need to write checks on this account for payroll purposes. I need to pay my people, plenty of cash for that, but not enough cash for a run on the bank where everybody all at once, everywhere, all at once, asked for their money. There wasn't enough to cover all those run on the bank type requests. And guess who started it? Guess who did? Guess who was in charge of sending out letters on the internet? Guess who was like tweeting, get your money out of SVB Bank. Get it out. And tell all your portfolio clients, get your money out. It was Peter Thiel. The libertarian, Stanford Federalist Society president. It was Peter Thiel, who works with Leonard Leo. Oh, my God. In trying to get the words woke as an accusation to be used in corporate environments, to be used in banking, to be used in schools, to be used everywhere. In order to infiltrate all of these places with like-minded libertarian people who don't want any government regulation, but knowing that if there was a run on this bank, they would be okay. They would be made whole. They would get 100% on the dollar if they got caught in it. Now, Peter Thiel, he wasn't waiting to see if he got caught in it. He pulled all his freaking money out ahead of this, and told all his portfolio clients, all the people who are, you know, venture capitalists in his portfolio, do the same thing. Take your money out. And they did. And then other venture capitalists got wind of Peter Thiel telling his portfolio clients to take their money out. And so then they said, oh my God, we have to take our money out too. And hence a good old fashioned, you know, run on the bank like It's a Wonderful Life. Just like that. Just like Mr. Potter. Just like that. So, you know, it's interesting that the venture capitalists saw a way to crash a bank. And that's what they wanted to do for whatever reason. And then they fed the talking points woke to Fox News and other, you know, sympathetic outlets, right?
Remember that after 2008, the Obama administration, Eric Holder, swooped in and imposed DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion standards on the entire financial sector. And that's one of the main reasons our big banks are now increasingly incompetent, and also one of the reasons Americans are so divided by race.
So the stupid bank in California didn't see inflation coming. They're about as smart as the Fed chair. So when the Fed chair finally raised rates, the bank got crushed. Well, why weren't they paying attention? Silicon Valley Bank is a woke Biden bank.
Oh, my God.
They were holding seminars on Lesbian Visibility Day and National Pride Month.
This actually is exactly why SVB got in trouble in the first place. This is the first bank failure that was caused by adherence to woke beliefs and policies.
Oh, my God. No, it was a run on the bank, a run on the bank that was actually started by information moving very fast by virtue of Peter Thiel saying, I'm taking all my money out of this bank and I'm advising all my portfolio clients to do the same thing. And people who, you know, follow Peter Thiel's libertarian, bullcrap, they're like, yeah, well, we better get our money out of it. It was a good old fashioned run on the bank. You know, when they were messing around with our mortgage backed securities, which are now and were before 2008 some of the most secure investments a bank could make, when they were messing around and making coleslaw out of our mortgage-backed securities, and I've explained this 80,422 times, but what they did was they took, you know, the liar loans that they made, meaning people who didn't even, get income verification, people who never had a loan in their lives, people who had zero credit or zero credit ratings, because George W. Bush said, just because you're buying a starter house doesn't mean it has to be a crappy house. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, remember that? We're going to underwrite all these liar loans, all these loans where people had absolutely no credit. None whatsoever. They were going to get loans now. And those were crappy loans. Those were loans that were probably going to go belly up. And so what the mortgage industry did when they realized that this was going to be the kind of mortgage that they were going to have to wait to get paid on, they shredded those mortgages with the good mortgages. They literally made coleslaw. They took mortgage-backed securities from people like me who went through, employment checks and credit ratings and, made sure I had clean credit, always paid my bills and blah, blah, blah. And they wrote me a loan, and then they took the liar loans, the people who had no credit, and they underwrote their loans. Well, they shredded their loans like a head of cabbage. They shredded my loan like a head of cabbage, and they put the good loans with the bad loans in one big bowl. Well, now there was no way for anybody to know when they were buying mortgage-backed securities if they were buying good loans or bad loans, and all the loans were tainted. I don't think that was done by a bunch of lesbians. I don't think that was done by a bunch of, trans people. I don't think that was done by a bunch of non-conforming people. I don't think that was done by black people. I think that was done by the banking industry, which had absolutely nothing to do with the people. It had to do with the policy. I mean, this is crazy.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
Seriously, it's a strategy. Listen.
This is Justin? Not just inanity. It's a strategy. You don't want your bank to go down, so you keep quiet while it's your bank going south. The moment you know your bank's gone, you need everyone else to believe their bank is next in line. Because once that happens, you get the political momentum for exactly the sort of deal they ended up getting, which is the federal government standing up and making sure that every single VC in the Valley gets 100 cents for every dollar they had there. Their whining was about creating panic to create a government solution.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's like if the big money, the really huge, huge money, the venture capitalist money, decides it doesn't want your bank to succeed, it can start a run on your bank. It can start a run on your bank. That is what happened to this bank, okay? It's what happened to SVB. And it's just, you know, like the solution, if you ask me and if you ask every ordinary American, it's going to be these people have too much money. These people can literally hold a bank up, you know, hold a bank hostage, put out a word that we don't, you know, we're taking all our money out of this bank. You should do the same and tell your friends and so on and so on and create a panic and create a run on the bank. You can do that if you have enough money. And that's what the money did. That's what Peter Thiel and his crowd did. They literally attacked a bank and made that bank go belly up. I don't know what their beef is with this Becker guy who ran this bank. I don't know what their inside little game is, but it was a strategy. It was something that they thought of. Now, when you start to read about what their goal is in the long and short of it, and you start to understand that they wanted to crush any sort of a non-political dominance right across American life, that they say that our and by them I mean Peter Thiel and Leonard Leo, whatever his name is, that they have said to themselves and out loud and to their groups, well, if we were able to pack the Supreme Court and get conservatives on the court and outlaw abortion and take freedom away from people, if we're allowed to, like, you know, insert our values into the Supreme Court of the United States, into the law in such a way that freedom is diminished, that books can be banned, that you can stand up private armies in the United States of America by virtue of owning the justices, owning the law, owning the decisions, owning the Supreme Court, owning the Constitution and interpreting it for our benefit, then why can't we do this for education and for journalism and for corporations and in entertainment? Why can't we do it in every aspect of American life? Now, these people, it's interesting because Peter Thiel, people think of him as like some uber libertarian. You know, when we first started, this Bias Tinkin' podcast effort, I didn't want to use PayPal because it was Peter Thiel's company. I just refused to put PayPal as a pay method. And then after he sold it, I said, okay, we'll put PayPal as a pay method. Okay. But it's because, you know, they're so libertarian. They don't want no government to be doing anything, you know, at all, to regulate anything at all, to regulate, to have standards in journalism, accepted journalistic practices, to have defamation laws that say you can't knowingly lie about companies that have done nothing wrong. While you know that they've done nothing wrong, you can't sit there and just make crap up about Italian satellites and about them flipping votes and about it being in service to Hugo Chavez, who's dead, and all this swill. That there is a defamation statute that is difficult, as it should be, to be deployed against a journalist. But if that journalist willingly, with malice, and by malice, when we talk about defamation, we mean a certain thing, and that thing is knowingly telling falsehoods, meaning you knew what the truth was, but you didn't care. And you decided to tell a lie and you hurt, harmed, or defamed a person or a business that is a public figure. So they don't want that. They don't want the standard to be that high. They don't want, people to be restricted from lying. They have a vision of the United States that isn't the United States. And they're going to, by hook or crook, they're going to use all their money and deploy all their money on every single aspect of American life until they get their wish. And their wish is that they are permitted to do whatever they want to you, to banks, to schools, to journalism, to entertainment, and to corporations, whatever they want to do. And there's nothing we can do to stop them. There's nothing, because if they don't like it, they'll pull their money out, or they'll, defame you, or they'll say that, a book on the Holocaust is pornography, and they will, get on the Twitters and the social medias, and they will, keep on telling this lie over and over and over and over until support for whatever it is evaporates. It's what they're doing. And, it's very interesting because ProPublica did an entire investigation, a deep dive into Leonard Leo and Peter Thiel and this whole Federalist Society and this whole Donors Trust dark money effort and what they've set their sights on. And it just seems, I don't know if this is, the right thing to assume. I don't know if this is a good conclusion to come to, but it seems to me that somebody, like a Peter Thiel, decided that he didn't like something about SVB. He didn't like something about that bank. And he was going to, take his money out and tell everyone in internet time, which is like, woo, faster than the speed of light, to take their money out and cause a run on the bank. And that's what happened. And, yesterday I was explaining to you why they couldn't cover the request for cash. And it was simple. It was because they invested in long-term treasury notes. Why? Because long-term treasury notes have a higher yield than short-term treasury notes. Because if you're willing to hold for 10 years, you will get paid more at the end. If you're only willing to hold for a year, you will get paid less than those who are willing to hold for 10, right? And so that's what SVB Bank did. They made this investment into mortgage-backed securities and into 10-year treasury notes because they had enough cash to cover payrolls, and they had enough cash to cover people who were coming to the window and saying, I want cash. I want to withdraw. I want to take, I want a check. Here, cash my check for, $1 million. They were able to do it. But they weren't able to weather a run on the bank, and that's what Peter Thiel started. He started a run on the bank. And I'm telling you right now, when you look at what Leonard Leo declared in this very slick but private video, that he planned to, quote, and this is him talking, crush liberal dominance across American life. The country is plagued by wokeism in corporations and education, one-sided journalism, and entertainment that's really corrupting our youth. I just said to myself, well, if this can work for law, why can't it work for lots of other areas of American culture and American life where things are really messed up right now? And he started this group called Teneo Network that did not get an enormous amount of support until it reached out to Donors Trust. Now, the Federalist Society and Donors Trust, this is exactly what Sheldon Whitehouse was talking about in the effort to purchase, to buy the Supreme Court. Well, it's the same exact people, and they've purchased for themselves a bunch of, legislators like J.D. Vance of Ohio and Josh Hawley and Representative Elise Stefanik of New York and others. And now, thanks.
Call in Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844.
561-270-3844.
All right, everybody, it is the spring pledge drive for Free Speech TV, and that is how we make payroll. Yes, it's how the people in Denver, where Free Speech TV is headquartered, make payroll. They do it with pledge drives because we are a not-for-profit. So if you are in a position to donate $5, $10, $20, whatever it is, $100, think big, $1,000, it will be double today, okay? Everything is matched dollar for dollar, and you will be helping us to make our payroll. Now, we only do these pledge drives quarterly, and we shorten them so that they're not so annoying. So please don't wait. Just dial 877-378-8669 right now, or you can donate online at freespeech.org, freespeech.org, or text the letters FSTV, Free Speech TV, to 44321, 44321, like a countdown, and we'll send you a secure link, and you can make your donation that way. Now, if you want to make it recurring, let's say you wanted to do $10 a month, you can certainly do that on the secure link on the text message. You could do it at freespeech.org as well, or you could tell a live, real breathing, pulsating human being in Denver that you'd like to do it monthly, and you can cancel that at any time you feel like you need to or want to, and that's, you know, completely within your control. So thank you very much for supporting Free Speech TV, an independent media voice that obviously is trying to explain very complex things as simply as humanly possible so we can figure out how to solve our problems. Now, right now, the conservative media, which is, I mean, it is inundated with money. You know, if this show would actually start praising conservative anti-freedom values, like, hey, yeah, I think we ought to ban books. Yeah, I think that one parent in Martin County, Florida, who calls herself a mom for liberty, ought to have the ability to say, I don't want that book in my child's classroom, and woo, the book would disappear. One parent can say, it's not for my child, therefore it's not for your child, therefore it's not for anybody's child, because that is what is going on right now, okay, in Florida and other places where book bans are occurring. One person from a group is saying, I don't like this book. I don't like it. Have you ever read it? No. And that's another problem. They have read these books, and we know this because in Florida, one woman has literally taken 92 titles out of one county's classrooms, and she's not read these 92 books, because had she read these 92 books, she would understand that 20 of them that I can vouch for, okay, are about the Holocaust. And one of them, called 19 Minutes, is about school shootings and bullies in schools. Has nothing to do with what DeSantis is saying it has to do. It has nothing to do with explicit or lascivious or sexual. It has to do with things that this woman doesn't want her child to be reading in school. And so she is saying your child has no right. And the only reason why she's successful is because what happens in Florida now, by virtue of this crazy legislation, is anybody can come in, any single parent can come in, challenge a book, and then it has to be read, and then it has to be reviewed, and then you have to have a media representative look at the book, read the book, and say, and anytime any of these books have been read and reviewed, they go right back on the shelf, because there's nothing in any of these books that would qualify these books to not be allowed to be in school libraries. There's nothing. But this is what they're doing. This is everything that they're doing. They're trying to limit your identifying or being able to figure out by reading a book that you're not alone, or you're not so uncommon, or, you know, how fascism began. See, this book, there's this one author who has had 20 of her books removed from Florida. 20 of them. She's written 28 novels, okay? 28. And none of them have anything to do with sex. None of them. None of them. And she explained what goes on when her books are being removed from classrooms across this country. And she says, you know, this is what they don't want you to know. They haven't read the books, number one. Number two, once the book is challenged by a single parent, that book has to go for a massive review, and they don't even have people to review these books, because a principal who's running a school doesn't have time to sit down and read 92 books. And that's why they're doing them in mass. That's why they're taking 92 at a time off the shelves. And 20 of them happen to be from this one single author. And her books have to do with things like the Holocaust, okay? Like I said, The Storyteller is one of her books. And The Storyteller is a book about a young person whose grandparents survived the Holocaust. And this young person actually meets an elderly SS officer and is able to ask the SS officer about the things that she was told by her elderly grandparents who survived the Holocaust. How is that inappropriate? How is that? No, they just decided they don't want their kid to read about the Holocaust, so therefore your kid. Okay, so you have all that woke crap being hurled at authors who just write books, good ones. books that help people identify with other times, with other, you know, with history, or books that help, you know, kids identify with kids that are bullies so that they can now say, gee, you know, I read this book and that bully, you know, it didn't turn out well. I'm not bringing my gun to school. And she says, I get letters all the time from kids who are either bullied or say they were bullying other kids. And they write to her and they say, you know, after I read your book, which was about a bully who actually went in and shot up a school, you know, after I read your book, I realized I shouldn't bring my gun to school and I decided not to, whatever. So this is literally a group of people, a well-moneyed, well-heeled, well-financed group of people, the same people that took over the Supreme Court, that are trying to take over schools, that are trying to take over what your kids can see and hear and read. They're also taking over entertainment. Now, if I would get on the air every day and say, you know, I've decided that life begins at conception. I don't know where I would get this idea, but I've decided that that's true and that anybody who takes an abortifacient, okay, anybody that takes Plan B or anybody that takes Plan C, the mifepristone combo, they're committing murder. And that's what I believe. And nothing's going to make me change my mind. Okay. And if I would get on the air and defend Fox News and say, you know, I know that they knew they were lying, but they were doing it for you. They were lying for you, or whatever, you know, machinations I had to go through in my head to suddenly have this, you know, cleansing moment of conservatism, because it wouldn't be clarity. Do you know that there would be money for me? Do you know that? Because this money over here that bought Josh Hawley, this money that bought J.D. Vance, this money that pays Representative Elise Stefanik so she can run Virginia's Solicitor General, Ron DeSantis of Florida, a federal judge who struck down the mask mandate, the heads of the Republicans Attorneys General Association, RAGA, guys like Turning Point USA, Ben Shapiro of the Daily Wire, pro athletes, dozens of executives. If I would preach their gospel, there'd be money for me too.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
They are baiting us into a debate on their terms, mm-hmm. which frankly, if I know this from The Art of War, Sun Tzu, if you let your opponent choose the field of battle, you are at a disadvantage. I want to talk about what they don't want their folks. I want to talk about what, again, when they, I hate to us and they hate to other eyes, what many of those leaders are not talking about. Why is a guy, let's make him a white guy, not able to make a living wage? Why is it so costly in America to have childcare, to have affordable daycare? These are issues that concern us all. So yeah, bait me into talking about wokeism and woke cap. That's not the issue here.
No.
If I sit down with a circle of people who don't care about their political party and say, we have this massive banking system in America that has its advantages, but shouldn't we together make sure that there's enough transparency built in that those people who are the corporate board don't do things that endanger the larger economy as a whole? I don't care if you're right or left, you're going to agree.
Right. And so this is a distraction. This is a, you know, a misdirection to make everything about LGBT, to make everything about African-American, to make everything about Hispanic, to make everything about whatever, diversity. Everything that's bad about America is the result of woke. This wonderful word that means enlightened, this wonderful word that means empathetic, that means sympathetic, that means that you are paying attention to others and your community. And, you know, it's an African-American term from, you know, the neighborhood that says, OK, I'm woke now. Now I see what you're doing to me. Right. I get it. I understand it. That's what woke means. And they've taken that good word and they've turned it into an insult. They've turned it into a bad word. They've turned it into some sort of a slur against ye, against you, in service of a different goal. Their goal is to enslave. Their goal is to own. Their goal is to end protest. Their goal is to put the military in your city. Their goal is to have secret police. Their goal is to rat neighbor, you know, have neighbors ratting neighbors out so that they can elevate themselves into the enslaver's role. They can, you know, insinuate themselves into every aspect of your life. This is what they have declared is their goal. It's not me making up their goal. They have a goal. They have said what their goal is. The founders of the Federalist Society, the founders of Donors Trust. Now, Donors Trust is a very dark money, masked, totally masked contribution place where billionaires and, you know, people who are very, very, very interested in controlling you, very interested in controlling the economy, very interested in controlling government, very interested in controlling, you know, the law and the courts and all of those things, they donate their money and nobody knows who the donors are. No one has any clue who's giving what. But we do know where the money ends up. We do know that, you know, the recipients of the Donors Trust money. We do know the recipients of the Federalist Society money. And we do know when they have their secret meetings and people in real journalism actually investigate their meetings, we know what their goals are because they say them. So you have conservative media figures like Ben Shapiro at the Daily Wire. You have Turning Point USA all receiving this money. Ron DeSantis receiving this money. Like I said, Elise Stefanik of New York, J.D. Vance of Ohio, Josh Hawley of Missouri. You know, you see them receiving this donor money. And in exchange, they're the loudest voices in the room telling you the problem isn't that Peter Thiel had some beef with this bank and decided to create a run on the bank and make it insolvent overnight with you know, using, you know, the internet to alert people to take their money out now. The problem is wokeism. OK, and so they get to define a battlefield where we'll be debating wokeism instead of debating whether or not we need to bring back the regulations that we had installed on banks after the entire 2008 banking meltdown, which happened as George Bush was leaving. He literally crashed our economy on his way out the door, started two wars and crashed our economy. And then Obama Biden came in and we had Dodd-Frank, okay? And Dodd-Frank said, if you are a bank and you are managing $50 billion worth of assets, you need to, you know, have some oversight by the federal government who's likely to bail you out if you fail, okay? And so we need stress tests applied. We need to know how many depositors you have and if they all asked for their money today, what's your plan? What would you do? How would you meet that demand other than, you know, having the government take over your freaking bank? So that's what we put in place. Well, the people who hate transparency, the people who hate rules of the road, the people who hate regulation are the people who have that kind of money. And they said, you know, we don't want to do stress tests and we don't want to have a plan if everybody should ask us all, because nobody will ever do that. That won't happen to us, right? And so they lobby and they put money into the pockets of people in the Republican Party specifically to undo regulations that we fought hard to get put in place. And it works, because here's Donald Trump telling you that he's going to get rid of Dodd-Frank.
That's why in the first 100 days, I have taken action to roll back burdensome regulations that undermine community banks. Especially, I know you're going to be very disappointed at this, Dodd-Frank, right?
Oh my God.
No, it's out of control. And by the way, not only for community banks, for banks, period. We could take community out of that one, right? No, Dodd-Frank, we're working on that right now, and you'll see a very big difference because you want to get out and make our country work.
That's what the money bought. It bought that. It bought that promise. And it brought this legislation that passed, okay?
The legislation I'm signing today rolls back the crippling Dodd-Frank regulations that are crushing community banks and credit unions nationwide. They were in such trouble. One size fits all. Those rules just don't work. And community banks and credit unions should be regulated the same way, and you have to really look at this. They should be regulated the same way
big banks.
With proviso for safety as in the past when they were vibrant and strong, but they shouldn't be regulated the same way as the large, complex financial institutions. And that's what happened, and they were being put out of business one by one.
Yeah.
And they weren't lending. Since its passage in 2010, Dodd-Frank has dealt a huge blow to community banking. As a candidate, I pledged that we would rescue these community banks from Dodd-Frank, the disaster of Dodd-Frank. And now we are keeping that commitment.
He has no idea what he's
talking
about. You're
so right. He just wandered into the truth on accident. That is so troublesome for his current message, you know?
Right. He's saying, you know, first of all, this had to do with regional banks, not just community banks, but this was regional banks that are really national banks that have $50 billion worth of depositors' money. And he was saying that they didn't need to be regulated, okay? But he understood in his mind they did. He almost walked into the truth there. And you could see the people around him are like, oh, no, oh, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, he doesn't. He absolutely doesn't. Because when we had the 2008 mortgage-backed security meltdown, it was because they took good mortgages and bad mortgages, shredded them together, and they put them all in one bowl and sold them as if they were all the same, as if they were all going to pay, as if they were all people that, you know, could pay or would pay. And that didn't happen. And that's what caused the banking disaster. OK. And so in 2010, we passed Dodd-Frank, and Dodd-Frank had, you know, stress tests for banks. It had, you know, liquidity standards for banks. You had to have a certain amount of cash on hand if you had a certain amount of deposits. Right. So that if there was ever a run on the bank, you could cover it. Now, SVB didn't have enough cash to cover the run on the bank that Peter Thiel started. And so to cover the tracks of what really happened, the bank was woke. The bank was woke? What the? Nobody's buying this crap, okay? This is stupid. But of course, if they can break this bank and they can break that bank and get paid on the other side, right? If they can all be made whole 100 cents on the dollar for every deposit, then they can break every bank they don't like, any bank they don't like. And guess what that does? That puts them in charge of banking. You know what the problem is? They have too much money. They have enough money to actually become slavers. They have enough money to actually become our owners. They have enough money to actually make this an argument that to some people is acceptable. But it's bull crap.
Mary had a little man.
We believe that all men are created equal
to the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Any Democrat-run state, and it's just not the same. It doesn't work. You look at these cities. Our great cities are New York City is a crime den. Chicago is a crime den. You look at these great cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco, you look at what's happening to our country. We cannot let it happen any longer. And one of the other things I'll do, because, you know, you're supposed to not be involved in that. You just have to be asked by the governor or the mayor to come in. The next time, I'm not waiting. One of the things I did was let them run it, and we're going to show how bad a job they do. Well, we did that. We don't have to wait any longer. We got to get crime out of our cities.
So what he's talking about there is creating a military force in your city that's answerable only to him. Now, he's not the only one with this idea, Okay, when I tell you that the oligarchs want complete control over protests, they want complete control over schools and books, they want complete control over, you know, the transparency that corporations have to, you know, operate with. They want to rescind every regulation that ever came down the pike that was protecting the consumer, that was protecting, you know, you from complete ruin. When I tell you that they want to enslave, when I tell you that the owners of this country are finally done sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying the show. They want to steal it all. They're ready now to make their move, and they are pretty sure that what they need to do is have policing controlled by them, too. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Because here's Ron DeSantis reactivating a Florida guard that's only answerable to him without any oversight whatsoever on, you know, who's protesting or who he's arresting for, you know, felonious attempts at voting. Like, you know, the people in the villages, they self-admit that they voted more than once. Some of them voted twice. Some of them will do it again. Nothing really happens to them. They get community service. But African-Americans who were issued state registrations by the state, they were sent voter registration cards by this here state, giving them every inkling, every bit of permission that they were seeking to vote, were sent those voter registration cards, in Ron DeSantis's opinion, erroneously, and they needed to be arrested, and he had to hold a press conference. Now, their cases have been thrown out of court because the state did issue them voter registration cards. But that's not going to stop any of this. He's saying, I want my own Florida guard that's not answerable to the feds, that's not answerable to anybody.
We thought it would be important to expand that, and the easiest way to expand it was to restart something that we had in this state for a long time, our own Florida State Guard. And so that's what we're doing. And so, you know, the Florida State Guard will be comprised of Floridians, and it will be designed to assist and help only Floridians. It will not be subject to be mobilized by the federal government, and the federal government cannot impose policies or penalties on the Florida State Guard. And so,
people are literally applauding the standing up of a brown shirt police force. People are literally standing there and applauding Nazis. They're literally applauding Stasi. They're literally applauding a Florida police force that's answerable to nobody but the governor of Florida. What could possibly go wrong? Okay, and DeSantis is one of these, Teneo guys. He's one of these Federalist Society guys. He's one of these guys that gets his money from Donors Trust. He's one of these dark money recipients that have a vision for the United States that looks nothing like the United States. Okay, nothing at all. Okay, they want to own, they want to lord, they want to enslave, they want to enslave. I mean, this is why the attack on women. This is really why, and it appeals to guys who really despise women because they get hurt by women, or women are, you know, a thing that they can't control or a thing that they can't have, right? So you have this misogynist community that typically identifies as being Republican or Libertarian or Nazis, okay? And they're all about enslaving women. They're all about suing women's friends, like we see in Texas, for helping a woman who was in the process of divorcing her husband, found out she was pregnant, and wanted a medical abortion with the mifepristone. And her husband is suing her three friends. And under the Texas law, that's doable. That's doable. So they're trying to enslave women. They're trying to tell LGBT people that there's something wrong with them wanting to be treated in the public square the same as anybody else, that is just a bridge too far, that is just a mountain too high to climb, that's not anything that God wants. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And that children whose parents know that their child are misgendered, who want to help their child be healthy and happy, that they are practicing child abuse, and the state can now come and take their children away. This is the world in which they toil. This is their ideal dream world. That's what's happening here in Florida. Books are being banned. Parents are being threatened with child abuse if they medically, seek counseling for their child who seems so depressed or seems suicidal or seems uncomfortable to the point where they can't function because their child knows what gender they are from the time they're 4 years old. Your child knows what gender they are. Okay. And they want to take away the women's right to control their own beings, control their own bodies. And this is all coming from the billionaire class. This is all coming from the Leonard Leos, the Federalist Society, the Donors Trust people, the Teneo Group. This is all coming from these tech entrepreneurs who are, you know, the purveyors of conservative activism. So that they can be oligarchs. They control the information flow. I mean, if you go on Twitter now, Twitter doesn't even recognize it. If you hadn't been on Twitter since Twitter got sold and Elon Musk has been in charge of Twitter, you wouldn't even recognize it now. It's so unbelievably hostile. It's such a nasty, ugly, twisted place where the algorithm is literally giving extra views or more visibility to people who hate, to people who bully, to people who call names, to people who, say Nazi, that Ukraine is full of Nazi. I mean, they actually are favored with this algorithm. You know what else is, run by an algorithm? I don't know if you know this or not, but I put it as the first article in the homework today. It's long. It's very long. It's like 20-something pages. But if you were ever interested in denial of care and issues of private insurance, especially Medicare Advantage plans, which are not traditional Medicare. Okay, Medicare Advantage is private insurance. And because it's private, it has the right to deny you treatment. And there's an algorithm that's doing it. There's an algorithm that runs that tells you you've spent too many days in rehab, even though you're not getting better and you need 3 more days or whatever. There's an algorithm that's saying this person is terminal, deny them care. There's an algorithm that says that, you know, this person, doesn't need X drug. You could start them on, something cheaper and make them, transition from one that won't work to another one that won't work until they get to the expensive one that might work. You know what I mean? It's just... This is the kind of control, and this is how you take control. You take control of people's health care. You take control of people's policing. You take control of people's public schools. You make public school a non-thing. You make it so that it doesn't even exist anymore because the books are banned, and you know your kid isn't going to be able to, be taught American history. And you take away the right to control your own destiny, the right to control your own being. Your own children.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
4 weeks ago, the Biden signed that says equity, or DEI, is the core mission of every single agency in the federal government. In other words, they want to run the country the way the executives at Silicon Valley Bank ran that financial institution, take huge, risky gambles on crazy woke projects, crazy climate projects, virtue signaling with no financial integrity, no financial soundness underneath, and this whole country is going to go the way of Silicon Valley Bank if we don't change direction.
Okay, he is one of the most self-loathing people I think I could ever conjure for you. He, Jason Miller... somebody needs to tell him that, the Nazis won't like him and that he is a racist white supremacist in a Jewish man's body. I don't even understand the self-loathing that has to be going on there with guys like him and Ben Shapiro. Honestly, I don't. But they're out there trying to explain to you that it's wokeness that killed the bank. It's stunning, really, but it's all in service of a very, very large oligarchical, autocratic society that libertarians envision, which would be great for them as long as they were the ones in charge. And you, of course, will have to be the proles. You will have to be the unwashed masses. You will have to be, you know, the people who drink the oily gin. And you'll like it. You'll fall in love with, you know, the oligarchs. Sooner or later, you will. Because they're going to beat it out of you if you don't. And when they start telling you that 2 and 2 is 5, you better say it. And not just say it, but you need to believe it. You need to believe it in order to have a modicum of a life. Otherwise, they'll destroy you. They will torture you. They will, you know, penalize you. They will make your life a living hell. Because they will be the bankers. They will be the police officers. They will be the educators. They will be the doctors. They will be the lawyers. And that's it. And that's it. And it will look a whole lot like what Tucker Carlson envisions, Russia to be. A very, very smart, all-white continent full of oligarchs and autocrats. And of course, he will be one of the chosen few. And if you're one of the chosen few in an oligarchical, autocratic, you know, lily white society like Viktor Orban's Hungary or, you know, Putin's Russia or, you know, Leonard Leo's, you know, America, you will have biblical training that they will select for you to give you your worldview. You will not be able to maneuver in or outside of those lines. You have to stay right where they tell you to stay. You have to and it's not just going to be you saying stuff that pleases them. You're going to need to believe the stuff that pleases them. You're going to need to believe that women aren't entitled to freedom over their own bodies. You're going to have to believe that there's something lesser or wrong with lesbians or gays or transgendered non-binary human beings who just can't submit. There's something wrong with them. Why can't they just submit? We'll tell you what you are, and you have to submit to that definition. And if you can't submit to that definition, if it violates something deep inside you, too bad for you. You have no place in our society. You are an outcast, you are shunned, and yes, go kill yourself. I mean, this is really how they operate. This is what they're all about. If you look at Russia's attitude towards LGBT people, that's what it is. That's how it is. They're not welcome to be who they are. They're not welcome to say who they are. They're not welcome to do who they are. You know this thing you do you? No, that's no good. You have to do them. Period. End of story. And what happens to people like that, that are so suppressed and latent? They hurt people. They hurt people. And you know, every time I find a story about somebody who's spray painting the word groomer on a library, it always turns out that that's the person who got arrested for having a cache of child porn in their house next to a blow-up child doll. You think I'm making this up? You can't make this up, okay? You just can't. This actually happened, okay? Yesterday I was telling you about, I played it for you, the Lieutenant Governor of Tennessee. The Lieutenant Governor of Tennessee, who passed all these anti-LGBT, laws that have made, you know, being LGBT almost a crime in Tennessee, okay? That guy is literally constantly trolling gay men on social media, liking them, sending them fire emojis, sending them lips emojis. And then when he gets caught, what does he say? Well, I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help them find, their path. No, you actually feel sexual excitement and desire for people like the ones that you are liking, and it makes you hate yourself because you've been taught that that's not okay. And so whoever brings up those feelings for you of self-loathing and hostility towards your own damn self, those are the people that you hate the most because they make you feel the most shame, and the most titillated, and you hate that. It's always them. It's always those guys who are the most vocal. It's always those guys who are legislating against the very thing that excites them, the very thing that shames them for some stupid reason. They've been taught that way. And they can't do themselves. They can't be themselves. Okay. And so that is why everything that, you know, is associated with something that excites or titillates them has got to be removed from society, whether it's women, whether it's gay, whether it's lesbians, whether it's trans. This guy, this lieutenant governor, he was very, very attracted to trans women also. Gay men in Speedos and trans women. That's his, you know, area of titillation. That's where he gets excited. Okay. Great. Go for it. Be you. No, he can't because he hates himself. So being him means being in a perpetual state of self-hatred. And he has to remove anything that makes him hate himself like that. I mean, it's so typical. But when you have a desire to control everyone and everything, and it's just, I mean, the money is there and the worship of your employees has been there, and you're welcomed into these, you know, clubs where you plot and scheme and plan to elevate yourself even more and get yourself even more power because you got all the money. You got all the money. So now you just want the power. Now you just want to make a world that you want. And you feel like you're entitled to do that. What you get are militarized streets, the removal of rights from this group and that group and these kids and those parents, all in service to some world that they feel is better. For who? For them. A world in which every boredom is amused.
Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
All right, everybody. It is the Free Speech TV Spring Pledge Drive. And that means that it's your turn to pony up. If you are somebody who likes independent media, if you're somebody who appreciates the work that we do here at Free Speech TV across all of our shows, just know that we're delivering all of our shows to Free Speech TV, who has about 16 employees based in Denver, Colorado, who disseminate our shows. And the way that they make payroll is you give a $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, $250 gift, a pledge to Free Speech TV. And as you increase the amount that you give, the amount that we get from frontline funders increases as well. So for instance, if we make our pledge goal in the next 2 weeks, we will unlock $50,000 more from a frontline funder, okay, who releases that money to Free Speech TV so that they can make their payroll for the next 3 months. That's just how simple it is. So when you are donor supported, it's time for you to be the donor. 877-378-8669 is the number, or you could donate online at freespeech.org, or text FSTV, Free Speech TV, to 44321, 44321, and we will send you a link. It is secure. You can make your donation that way. Thank you very much for your support. We know that you are there, and every pledge drive we've made our goal. I don't think this one will be any different, but don't sit around and think someone else is going to do it. It's you. All right, Bruce in California.
Hey, Randy. Long and first.
Oh, hey.
I'm calling because I haven't anywhere else. I've given up looking for somewhere else to talk about it. And I know you'll take it seriously. And so I've been worrying lately. I'm 68, vet, and I've been having a lot of time on my hands, and I've been worrying lately. It's all set up already. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. At the top, our vice president and president are the only things standing between us and guess who for president.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening to me because they would do such a thing.
Well, they are violent. And, I mean, they've shown us that they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not them themselves. And, they're a bunch of P-words. But
oh, no, no. They hire pros.
Yes, yes.
There's enough volunteers with the skills. I mean, we trained them in the military. Anyway.
True.
It would, and they could do it anytime now. The SCOTUS would back them up.
I don't know that murder would be backed up by the Supreme Court of the United States, but I do know that the Republicans would, defend some violent person who did whatever it is that they felt needed to be done as a Republican Party. They would defend those people. I mean, they're defending, the guy. This was last night on Twitter. Okay, this is social media. They were defending the guy. Marjorie Taylor Greene was defending a guy who held Officer Fanon down while the others tased him. The guy got 7 years in prison for doing this. And his family was going to jail to visit him. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is calling this man a political prisoner and showing his crying children who are upset that their dad is a felon.
I saw that.
I mean, what is that?
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
First of all,
it's the lowest of the low.
They were in the luxury part of the plane. And I don't know any, well, at my level, I don't know anybody with three kids who can fly them back and forth in a luxury section of a plane. It was first class. Somebody bought her those tickets. And she doesn't, why did she get elevated to that when how many millions of prisoners don't even get to ride the bus to go see their family in prison because they get their same reason and the prison's locked down for some stupid thing that the prisoners did. I have been in jail. And, she's using her kids. She's even making them sadder. She's making them sicker.
She's traumatizing her children is what she's doing.
We're going to see your dad.
Right. And the mom is talking to like a three-year-old. You want to talk about child abuse and traumatizing children. So the mom is talking to a three-year-old to go, why are you crying? Because I want to see daddy. You say it again. You want to see daddy? Yes, I want to see daddy. Is that why you're crying? Because you want to see daddy? Well, they won't let you see daddy. I mean, it's sick.
And the whole thing could have been avoided if she never promised that they could go see daddy, because that's not a promise she could make. She doesn't run the prison.
Look, it's very twisted that Republicans are people who will cover up literal insurrection. They will cover up violence. They will cover up people who took a dump on the floor of the Capitol and smeared their own feces like they were monkeys, smeared their own poo on the walls of the House of Representatives, on the walls of the Senate, in the Speaker's gallery. Okay, they will defend that. They will defend people who beat police officers and then have the temerity to say back the blue. Okay, look.
You were saying that they're trying to set up these personal
militaries, yes.
Police forces,
yes.
And stuff,
yes,
like DeSantis. But really, you know, they already have it. It's called the police union. GLFOP is their their Twitter address.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to have any of his officers answerable to the feds. He doesn't want to have any oversight. He doesn't want any civil rights. No, but this is why they're saying to get rid of DOJ and FBI, okay? Because the FBI has a civil rights division. And when somebody's civil rights are violated by law enforcement, sometimes the feds take that case and prosecute it for civil rights violations, for hate crimes.
But never anybody above pawn level.
What do you mean?
I mean, I complain online, you know, about the slowness of the DOJ and the Republicanness of the Attorney General and those kind of things, right? And somebody comes back, and it was a very popular tweet that they wrote about how, why are you ignoring the thousands of people that have been arrested already? And I'm like,
for what?
I didn't even bother engaging them because
I don't understand. I mean, what does that mean? The thousands of people who have been arrested already?
From January 6th.
Oh. What do you mean you're ignoring them?
But nobody above pawn level has been even put in handcuffs or written.
Oh, from January 6th. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not a done deal yet, is it?
Well, isn't it wise to step on an insurrection in some way, even performatively, right at the beginning to show people that something is going to be done? The words aren't enough.
So you have to prove your case, no? Especially if it's a past
president. You have to prove you're going to arrest somebody that's not
a... If it's a president of the United States, which has never been done, you're going to need an enormous amount of proof, right? You're going to need an enormous amount.
Oh, they got it. They've got it.
They got it. All right. Well, we do have Jack Smith, who's looking into January 6th, and he must be getting close because Donald Trump was screaming and calling Jack Smith a mad dog psycho yesterday in Iowa. So something's going on.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
Mad dog psycho prosecutor Jack Smith. Sounds like a very innocent name, doesn't it?
Yes.
Put there for only one reason by Biden and the weaponized Justice Department. Should stop this witch hunt altogether, or at a minimum should give Biden, Obama, and everybody else the same treatment as they give me. Because we have two sets of justice in our country, and the people won't stand for it.
So he's bellyaching and screaming and, giving a geschrei is what they call it, about Jack Smith has a weird name, Jack and Smith. Weird name. Isn't that a weird name? And he's a psycho mad dog. And that DOJ has been weaponized against him because obviously this man incited an insurrection against his own country based on a big lie that he actually made $250 million off telling. And that was that the election was not free and fair in the United States of America. If you don't choose them, somehow the system is weaponized. If you don't choose them, somehow it was rigged. If you don't choose them, somebody must have cheated because they just cannot believe that given a choice of sanity or insanity, America chose sanity. Just can't make himself understand that. Just can't make himself agree to that, especially when he saw the money come flowing on in every time he would tell that lie. So therefore, Jack Smith, who none of us know at all, except that he was a prosecutor at The Hague prosecuting war crimes, is somehow a psycho mad dog. So I understand justice is really stinking slow. I get it. And it is too slow. And we really do need rocket dockets. We really do need more, administrative law judges, more magistrates, more federal judges, more district court judges to hear cases in a much speed. Because what's the thing we used to say? Justice delayed is justice denied. And that is true. That is true. But as slow as it is, I think that we will actually see some. I don't know when. That's the problem. I don't know when. And I understand people are like sick of him getting away with what he gets away with. Sick of seeing members of Congress who were part and parcel of that insurrection. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar and Mo Brooks. Okay. Today is the day. Okay. These people, they are unmolested. Scott Perry and all the people that, participated in, an insurrection against our country because they didn't like losing, because they just didn't like losing. They need to face the bar of justice. I understand. I get your point. I think you're right. I feel it too. I think it's too slow, too halting. The idea that there are untouchables in this here country is not lost on me or anybody who cares to pay attention to this, crazy justice system of ours where a president can actually legitimately say that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not go to jail. And that would be true. Where he welcomed and encouraged Russian hacking into the DNC servers and took the stolen goods that the Russians stole from the DNC servers and gave it to Wikipedia, WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks was being coordinated by Roger Stone as to when they should release. And these people could get pardoned. These people could walk around free among us. These people who literally took stolen goods that were stolen by an adversary of the United States in service of their global domination hopes and dreams.
See, but you just said it right there, Randy. Slow and plotting. That's one thing that I think many of your viewers and many Americans can deal with. It's impotence and fecklessness at the in our justice system. That's what really scares me when the biggest players, the biggest crooks,
all of this untouchable stuff. I almost said it, but all of this untouchable stuff that happens by rulemakers. Okay, that's not in the Constitution. That's the Office of Legal Counsel, who made a rule that said that a president of the United States sitting, a current president of the United States, cannot be indicted. And that's what Robert Mueller accepted as being the law. It's not the law. It's a rule. And so he started the investigation knowing that no matter what he found, he couldn't indict Donald Trump. That's the sick, sad part. The idea that Peter Thiel may have caused a run on the bank and that probably nothing will ever happen to anybody who does such a thing in this country is because they're a billionaire or because they're well situated and because they're friends with Leonard Leo, who owns lock, stock and barrel, the Supreme Court, the conservative block of the Supreme Court, because they were able to put 28% of the federal judiciary in place under Donald Trump. I'm telling you, that's why it looks the way it looks. That's why there are people in this country who are untouchable. And it's just sad and sick and wrong, because the more powerful you are, the more inclined you are to keep your power by hook or crook. And if you get the wrong guy, and we got the wrong guy, this is what it looks like. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Some people are celebrating it. That's the difference. Other people are lamenting it. Other people are grieving for our country and its failure to hold certain people accountable. That's why I compared, you know, the guys like Rupert Murdoch and Donald J. Trump with guys like Murdo from South Carolina. Now, Murdo obviously killed his family. You can say that now because he's been convicted, okay, and committed over 100 financial crimes, which he was getting away with. Why? Because he was the prosecutor. For 100 years, they ran the prosecutions in South Carolina, in that county of theirs, okay? And they prosecuted who they wanted to prosecute. They didn't prosecute who was well-connected to them. That's the sin. But at least, you know, the middling guy like that, he came to the bar of justice within 2 years of his heinous crime. But he would have gotten away with his financial crimes, which included stealing insurance settlements and insurance awards from the people who were damaged. One kid is a quadriplegic. He stole from that kid. Another one had her mother, killed. And he was able to prove wrongful death. And he got millions of dollars, but didn't give it to the family. Those kinds of crimes he would have gotten away with because he was the mid-level untouchable. And then you get everybody else, which is us. And if we go to a doctor now as a woman in Texas or South Carolina or Kentucky or Arkansas, they're all trying to make getting an abortion homicide punishable by death. Yes, that's true. Don't believe me? Look it up. Look up South Carolina trying to make abortion punishable by death. Look it up.
You mean the pro-life crowd is doing...
No, I mean the government of South Carolina. Yeah. I mean the legislature of South Carolina.
No, but I'm saying the pro-life legislature.
Doesn't matter what they think they are. It matters that they are in power and that they can create laws that say that conception begins, that birth begins at birth, that life begins at conception, and that anybody that deprives the preborn of their life, which begins at conception, is now guilty of homicide punishable by death, the death penalty. Now, you should know in South Carolina, where this is actually making its way through the legislature, they don't even have the proper drugs. They do have a death penalty, but they don't. And this guy who killed his family, he didn't get the murder. He didn't get the death penalty. He got life in prison. But they don't even have the drugs to put people to death in South Carolina. Okay, they botch all the executions. So they've now gone to the lovely and beautiful electric chair and or firing squad. Where is the decency and humanity in the 21st century in this country? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Decency and right and wrong. It's all being severed from our society. You want a culture war? This is the culture war. This is the real one. Where you have people that want to own other people, literally own them, control their destiny, control what they read, control what they see, control what they hear, have state-run media and state-run policing that's answerable to no one under any civil rights legislation that we have bled and died to have on our books. The decency, the humanity, it's not gone, but it's going. It's going. And you want to know, like, a real solution? These rich people, they have too much money.